this I'm going through. I'll take the weight, whatever others do. I'll take the weight with the Lord's despised view. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Yes, now I'm going through. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through.
Lord, I have started to walk in the light, shining upon me.
Oh, yes, we have. Church. Oh, I'm going through. Yes, I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the Lord's despised view.
Aren't you glad you've got that determination tonight? It's easy to stand here and say, I'm going through. And it's easy to really think you're going through. But I really, by the grace of God, I want to make it to the other side. Don't you? How many of your desire is to make it to the other side? We started in a race. And we aim to finish this thing. By the grace of God, we aim to finish this race. Is that your desire tonight? Well, somebody say, praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand, greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church tonight. Praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see you guys. Praise the Lord. Good to see you, buddy. God bless you. Give me that last verse, Brother Harry.
Oh, brother, now will you take up the cross, give up the world, and count it as dross? Sell all thou hast.
Oh, thank you, Lord.
And give it to the poor. Then go with Jesus. I'm going through. I'll
with the Lord's despising. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Well, now I'm going through by the grace of God. I'm going through. I'll pay the price, whatever others do. I'll take the way with the despise you. I've started with Jesus, and I'm going through. Oh, praise the Lord. Somebody say praise the Lord. It's good to be in the house of God tonight, isn't it? We had an absolute jubilee here over the weekend, didn't we? Wasn't church wonderful? Absolutely wonderful. And I know that if you were here, I know you had to enjoy it. And I tell you what, tonight is Wednesday night. We're here to do it all over again. I believe God's going to give us a great time tonight. Before we go any further, let me read you a testimony. Brother Junior Davis sends this in. Just bless my heart. And I just want to get everything started off on the right foot to build your faith in this room tonight. I got a report from my doctor that said my CA counts, which tell if the tumors are increasing or decreasing in size. He said that when I started treatment, they were at 295. Last week, they were down to 138. I believe with all of my heart, and I do too, Brother Junior Davis, that they are on their way to zero. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. We just join our faith with Brother Junior that God's got it all in control. Nothing catches him by surprise. Brother Junior does have something that he would like for us to pray about. My hair is starting to really come out very badly. My God tells me to ask abundantly. That's what I'm doing tonight with your help. I love you guys so much, and I'm so thankful for your prayers and support. We're going to pray that our brother will not lose another one. Amen. God's able to give him the desire of his heart. Do you believe that tonight? Praise the Lord. Please pray that God will deliver me from a spirit of fear. I trust in your prayers, and I believe that I can be free. That's an unsigned request, but we just commit it to the Lord. Brother Baker says to please pray for Sister Christine Baker, who will have an MRI tomorrow. She's having a lot of pain. They think she has gallstones, so we want to remember her tonight. As we pray, Sister Deanna Glenn's father in Ohio has now been turned over to hospice care. They ask for your prayers during this time, so we certainly just commit this to the Lord. Ask God to be with those folks. Certainly want to pray for Brother Wes Willis, his family. I think they maybe had the burial for his father today, if I'm right on that. So let's certainly pray for that family, that the Lord would just be mindful of them. Also, Brother Dickinson, I think maybe was buried yesterday. And so let's just pray for that family as well, that the Lord would be with them. Sister Laura Wyko says that Brother Sam Wyko called and has an unspoken prayer request he'd like for the church to help him pray about. So we'll just commit that to the Lord. And Brother Chuck Saminsky sends this in. Mrs. Maven White of Elizabethan is in Quillen Rehab. She's 85 years old with bleeding on the brain. And her behavior has changed extremely in the last 2 weeks. So they're asking that we would just remember that lady in prayer, 85-year-old, that the Lord would just be mindful of her. You have an unspoken prayer request tonight? Something you'd like for this group to pray about? I believe God's able to meet every need among us. Do you believe that tonight with all your heart?
Yes.
Are you committed that your rest in Christ is concrete?
Yes.
Are you committed to that tonight?
Yes.
God is more than able to meet every need among us. Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Somebody say praise the Lord.
Praise
now give him a big hand clap of praise if you love him tonight. Brother Jackie Benton, would you come tonight? Amen. You might want to just sing your little signature chorus for us before we pray tonight. I claim the blood. That's what we're claiming tonight, isn't it?
Amen. Let's join our brother as he sings this for us. Praise over these needs. I love this guy right here, don't you? Love you, buddy.
I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blessings were made just for me.
Oh, I like it.
My sickness and my pain.
Yes, Lord.
When I need you.
Oh, sing it, Jackie.
I claim those precious blood. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary.
Yes, Lord.
Those precious blood stains were made and just for.
Sing a verse of it, Jack.
I do not know how others make it through. Who never go to Calvary as I do. Where there's a hill, in cleansing stream that flows. That only this redeem can know. Sing it, I claim.
Glory,
thank you, Lord. This is set on Calvary. Those precious blessings were made just for. Precious blood saved. Hallelujah. I claim the blood Jesus shed on Calvary. Those precious blood stains were made just for me. For all my sin, my sickness and my pain. I just claim those precious blood
stains. Thank you, Lord.
Let us pray.
Heavenly Father, we thank you this evening, Lord, for your blessings. We thank you for those blood stains that can cleanse the vilest sinner, that can set the captive free. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the privilege, Lord, that we have, Lord, to approach thee. The greatest privilege that any mortal ever had was, is able, or God, to be able to come, hallelujah, and bring these requests before you and talk to our Heavenly Father. We thank you, Lord, for these requests, Lord, tonight, Lord. There has to be, Lord, a sinner before there can be a Savior. There has to be a sickness before there can be a healer. And we know, Lord, tonight that you are the healer. Hallelujah. Healing is the children's bread. And we ask you, Father, tonight, Lord, these requests that we hold in our hand, we ask you, dear God, that you'll come tonight, Lord, minister to those needs. To the hearts, O God, that are heavy, Lord, because of the lost loved ones, Lord. And because, Father, tonight, Lord, we're dependent upon you, we ask you, dear God, to be merciful tonight. Heal the sick, Lord. Touch lives, we pray. And the greatest miracle of all tonight, Father, is to be able to see a sinner come to you, Lord, tonight. confessing thee, Lord. Tonight the prophet said he'd rather, Lord Jesus, hallelujah, souls, Lord, to be added, oh God, rather than the sick, Lord. Hallelujah, because, Lord, we know, Lord, it's appointment to die, but after this, the judgment. Hallelujah, Father, we know, Lord, if we have everything in clear, Lord, God, before, Lord, hallelujah, and claim the precious blood of Jesus, all is well. We ask you, Father, to not have preeminence in this service. Bless the songs. Bless everything that goes forth, the word of God to our hearts. May, Lord, tonight, Lord, Father, may, Lord, tonight, Lord, there be souls born into the kingdom of God. We rebuke every spirit that's contrary to the Holy Spirit tonight and ask you to come and take all the preeminence and all the glory and all the honor, for we ask it in the lovely name of Jesus Christ for thy sake. And amen. Amen. Are you glad for the blood tonight?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jackie. God bless you. I love you, buddy. Appreciate you. Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have you here. All those that are streaming the service tonight, we certainly want to say that we trust it'll be a blessing to them. And I didn't mention it. Brother Donnie probably mentioned it when he comes out. I think he got a phone call or a text from Brother Robert Marrero that had, of course, you're all aware of the tremendous earthquake that was taking place, and I guess in Chile, and Brother Jim Witz will say there was another one today in Peru or somewhere like that. But let's pray for God's people in that part of the world and those people all there that's just devastated. So let's pray that God would just be with them during this time. We know what's been talked about. We know what's been prophesied. We know it's thus saith the Lord. So we're just getting ready, aren't we? We're just getting ready. But while we're getting ready, we're going to keep on the firing line. Yeah. Are you going to keep on the firing line tonight? That's the question. You're going to sit back and watch somebody. You're going to get up there with them and help them fire. How many of you are going to be on the firing line? Yeah. Amen. Well, we'll carry all the rest of you the best we can. God bless your heart. Praise the Lord. Oh, you must fight. Be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line. Oh, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win for God and the right, keep on the firing line.
If you're in the battle for the Lord and right,
yes,
well, keep on the firing line. If you and my brother surely you must fight, keep on the firing line. There dangers that we all must face. If we die fighting, it is no disgrace. A coward in the service, he will find no place. So keep on the firing line.
Well, you must fight, be brave against all evil. Never run or even lag behind. If you would win God and the right, keep on the firing line.
God will only use a soldier he can trust.
So
keep on the firing line. If you wear a crown, then bear a cross you must. Evil and to spread good cheer. Great to be rewarded for your service here. So keep on the firing line.
Well, you must fight.
God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight. You're singing so good. Thank you so much for helping us tonight. Brother Justin, God bless you. If you come this time, Brother Justin Reagan has a song for us tonight. Give him a nice hand as he comes to sing. We love this guy, don't we? Appreciate you, buddy. God bless you. Kind of like his daddy a little bit, too.
I love y'all too. I can figure out what I'm doing.
Make me broken so I can be healed, 'cause I'm so callous and I can't feel. I wanna run to you with heart wide open, so make me broken and make me empty. To holding onto my will, and I'm completed when you are with me. Make me empty until you are my one desire. Till you are my one true love. Till you are my breath, my lonely, so I can be yours till I want no one more than you, Lord. 'Cause in the darkness, I know you will hold me. Make me lonely until you are my one desire. Till you are my one true love. I know you'll keep making, Lord, please keep making me.
Enjoy that tonight. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Justin. God bless you. Amen. It's time to go on into the service now. Brother Donnie's getting ready to come bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you are going to pray for your pastor tonight? Let's stand to our feet, if you will. It's good to be in church. It's good to see you tonight. God bless you. Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise tonight. You fall down. Lay us down. Let's sing this chorus as Brother Donnie gets ready to come bring the word of the Lord to us tonight.
We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. Greatness of His mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. We cry, holy, holy, holy. Is the Lamb. One more time with all your heart. At the feet of Jesus. at the feet of Jesus. We cry holy. Say it to him, church.
Praise God. What a privilege it is for us to be able to worship Him tonight. Let's turn, if you would, to Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9. How many is happy to be in the house of God?
Yes, sir.
After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the power and the kingdom and the glory forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads together. Lord Jesus, as we've gathered here tonight in this midweek service, once again we have come with hungry hearts. Lord, you alone can be able to meet the needs, the thirst, the hungering that we have in our souls. So we're asking you tonight that you would help us, Lord Jesus. As we look into your word, may we be benefited by gathering together. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. From this passage, very familiar with all of you, I know that's read the Bible, I want to speak to you tonight on the model prayer for a godly man. The model prayer for a godly man. Now, this few verses that we've read has been known and identified by what most people call the Lord's Prayer. Actually, it's not the Lord's Prayer, because Jesus could not pray this prayer. But it is a model or an example given to us to be able to contain what Jesus knew would be the proper approach to our Father by the channel of prayer. Now, I say that Jesus could not pray this prayer because it contains a petition of the forgiveness of sins. And Jesus had no sins. So this was not Jesus' prayer, Jesus saying this. And Jesus did not say, repeat these words. But he said, after this manner. Or I'm giving you a model. I'm giving you an example of prayer. In here lays some very important things by which you will have a guideline to be able to pray by. But, you know, as far as the us taking this prayer and praying it word for word for word, praying it that way every day, that's not the intention of the Lord Jesus at all. We know the Catholic Church has developed it that way, and you do so many wrongs, well, you have to say so many Our Fathers, so you repeat this over and over again. That's not even what the Lord Jesus said. But in here, he's certainly giving us the example of the way that we should pray. And this is not, of course, just for a godly man, but a godly woman, a godly young man, a godly young woman. So it's for us all. And we know that Jesus was not just a God man, but Jesus was a godly man. Let me say that again. Jesus was not just a God man, but he was a godly man. Now, you can imagine when Jesus began to say these words. Now, remember the apostles had asked Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Now, they said in another place that John had taught his disciples how to pray. And they said, now, Lord, you teach us how to pray. Strange in one sense because, you know, all through the Old Testament they had prayed. The Jews that heard Moses pray, that heard Jeremiah pray, that heard Ezekiel pray, that heard many godly men pray. But they knew somehow with the changing of this dispensation and also the hearing of Jesus' own prayers that they needed to be taught how to pray in a different way than what they had prayed all of their life. Now remember, most of these apostles, they were either Pharisees or Sadducees, so they prayed at least three times a day. And they prayed at length. Jesus rebuked the Pharisees because they would stand in the marketplaces and they would love. They were known for the long, long prayers. So it was not that they were not used to praying, but somehow the content of the prayer, the sincerity of the prayer, the heartfeltness of the prayer, they knew when Jesus prayed, there was such a difference in the way that he prayed and the way that they had heard the Pharisees, their leaders, maybe even their mothers and fathers pray. So they felt that it was a necessity to ask him, Lord, teach us how to pray. So when Jesus hears their petition and then Jesus begins to answer their petition, he actually answers their petition by a model or by an example. Now, you know, the Lord Jesus would not have ever, if they're sincere with all of their hearts and they're really wanting to know how to pray, he would have not said something forth to them that would cause them to stumble. He would not have sent something forth that would not be self-contained, because in these words and in the way he's going to do it will be the very thing they need, not only them, but the countless generations that will be thereafter, to be able to give the model for every saint of God that's sincere that wants to know how to pray. You believe that? Now watch, let's break this down if you would. Let's read again in verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Now watch, he doesn't say, repeat these words and say these same words over and over again. But after this manner, which is a similitude or a likeness. After this manner, pray. Now the setting within itself tells us that Jesus is not telling us to repeat these exact words, but to pray like this, in this symbolism that I'm going to give you. Now it is a prayer, but it is a model prayer, because as I said, Jesus himself could not pray. Now there's 9 different elements that we want to look at that the Lord Jesus contained in these few short verses that contain the very power of prayer, that to be able to release to every son and daughter of God that beneficial something which cannot be taught really by theologians. It cannot be taught really to you by your mother. Your mother can teach you how to pray only if your mother knows how to pray herself. The very reason that many of us don't know how to pray today is because we were taught by our mothers and fathers, which were taught by their mothers and fathers, which were taught by their mothers and fathers, which many of them don't know how to pray as well. I know that hurts your feelings, but it's the truth anyhow. Because if we bring our prayers that we prayed for many years of our life, and the prayers of our parents and our aunts and uncles and grandmas and grandpas, bring it right back into the example of the model prayer, you'll find out tonight that many of the prayers that we prayed have been an absolute waste of time. Because we haven't prayed it in answer to the model that was given by the Lord Jesus himself. Well, you're already mad at me already. Guess we might as well dismiss and go to Taco Bell. No, I don't think so. I believe we'll go on for a little while longer. Now, let's look at this in these elements that Jesus, in these 9 elements or 9 aspects that Jesus wants to bring out. Now, the first one is faith. Now, I wrote this down so you'd be able to follow with me. The very first one is faith. Now, this is going to identify that we believe that he is our Father, and we're going to have a different designation between our Father in heaven and our earthly Father on the earth. Now, notice the way this is the Lord Jesus himself saying, after this manner, or after this symbolism, you will learn to pray. Now, we will pray how? Our Father. Now, what you notice in this, that it is our Father. Now, really, it takes real genuine faith, unless you are just repeating this because you heard Mama say it, or you heard the pastor say it. Now, there is a great difference in you praying this way, when you are praying this way by divine revelation, to when you are actually saying, our Father. Now, I want you to notice also in this that there is no single, pronunciations in any of this that identifies my Father, my bread. It is always plural. Watch the way the Lord Jesus teaches us how to pray. He never uses any singular personal identification, but it's always for the betterment or the entire movement of the body itself.
Jesus does not say, my Father, but he says, our Father. He does not say, my daily bread, but our daily bread. Well, I'm sorry, friends. Y'all never noticed this before, but it's been in your Bible the whole time. So the first element then, or the aspect that we want to look at, that whenever we go to prayer, and according to what Paul said, he said, if a man will come to God, he must first believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them which diligently seek him. Now, if you do not have confidence when you go to pray that God is your Father and that God hears your prayers and that God is going to answer for you, then you're pretty much wasting your time until you resolve that one issue. He is my Father, and he hears me when I pray. Now, he may give me a yes, he may give me a no, he may give me a wait a while, but he does hear me when I pray. How many believes that? How many believes that God hears your prayer? How many believes he is your Father? He's not just Paul's Father, Peter's Father, Brother Branham's Father, Brother Donnie's Father, but he is your Father as well. Now notice then, this is an expression of faith. So it is our Father which art in heaven. Now notice the aspects that Jesus puts in divine order. Now these are important, believe it or not. So it is our Father which art in heaven. Notice the second aspect that we're going to approach in prayer, and that is by worship. So we have faith to believe that he is our Father, that he's going to hear us. So our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So the second aspect that we enter into is worship. Now, may your name be honored. It's not, I need this, I need that. That's not the first thing we're supposed to bring. So if the first thing that you bring, oh God, my bills are late. Oh God, I need healing. Oh God, I need that. You're totally backwards in your way of approach to prayer. That's not the model that the Lord Jesus gave to us. Oh no, if we're approaching it first, God, I need this, and God, I want that, and God, I need that, and you worship at the end, you are totally backwards in your approach to prayer. That's right. So it's faith, then worship. May your name be honored or hallowed. And then what? May your kingdom come, which comes under the aspect of expectation. So we have faith, and we're also worshiping, and we are believing that what we are going to pray for, that God will grant it. Now notice the reason we can have such confidence is because the order of the petitions by which we are approaching God. Now we've not even mentioned any of our needs yet. We've not mentioned any of our desires. We haven't mentioned none of our own personal petition, but we are praying for the furtherance of the manifestation of the name of God. And we are praying for his will to be done. Now we can have perfect, absolute confidence then, and what's it produce to us? An expectation that what we are asking, because this is his will. Now what it will do also then, it will render, and the fourth one that we want to look at, is submission. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we have faith, and we have worship, we have expectation, and we have submission. So we're asking, we're believing God's going to do it. We're worshiping for doing it. We're expecting it to be done. And we are going to submit ourselves to whatever that will of God would pertain to our lives. So God, you know, when we go to prayer, it's like I said before, it is not just submitting your wish list. I want, I want, I want, I want, I need, I need, I need. When you going to answer this? When you going to answer that? That's not what prayer is all about. But it is about submission. It is about worship. It is about faith. It is about expectation. And then the fifth thing is petition. Now, you imagine after we've had faith, we've had worship, we've had expectation, and we've had submission, after we come into that, and our attitude now by these first four has been molded into a channel of prayer. And then we come to number five, which of course is grace. After we come to number five, then we can enter into a right place because we have now been shaped to where we will ask in the right way. If we go first with petition, 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 and we don't have submission, we don't have worship, we don't have all this, it's no wonder that we pray selfishly. It's no wonder many times that we pray prayers that God cannot answer because of the way we pray them. And we pray them without our attitude already being bent and made into the will of God. Oh my. Thank God for the truth. But after then, these four follows the fifth one, which is petition. Give us our food for today. Then what? Then the seventh one is confession. So we're going to ask God in the way of worship, and then we're going to believe, and we're going to come, Lord, I've got needs in my life. And then, God, I want you to forgive me. I want you to forgive me, Lord, of any shortcoming that I've got. Now, I realize some of you all saying, you're just so perfect and so sinless. You don't make mistakes no more. But you know what? That's not what the Lord Jesus taught us how to pray. The Lord Jesus never told us to look down at everybody else. God, I don't see how in the world you even like Ronnie Daly. He's so low down and sorry. God, if you know him the way I knew him, I'm telling you one thing. If you knew Jim Babb the way I knew him, if you know so-and-so, that's not the way God tells us how to pray. But it's what? Lord, forgive me. Forgive me of my shortcomings. Forgive me, Lord, of what I go through. Now notice this. So we have petition, then we have confession, then number seven, we have compassion. So God, you forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. You mean all of this comes in prayer. Notice the nine things that Jesus was able to wind up in these short verses of scripture. This is the model prayer of a godly man. So this is what Jesus is showing us. Children, if you want your prayers answered, don't be like the Pharisees that stand and they say their great long words. My, they know how to say everything. And they'll say the same thing to you. It's not the these and the thous and the wherefores and the whys. You know, just talk to God as your friend. Talk to God as your father. Go to him with the right way. I'd rather be plain and simple and be able to pray exactly by the pattern than some type of doxology. It makes no sense anyhow. Who are you trying to press? The angels or God or yourself or us? Let's just pray sincerely before God in the right way, and God can answer our prayers like never before. Now what? So then we, after the confession, we have compassion. After compassion, we have dependence. We're going to depend upon him now. Don't let us yield to temptation. So we're never reaching a spot to where we're not dependent upon God. We never reach a spot to where we feel like we have arrived and we don't need any more help from God. We're in a mess of trouble when we do. Now the last one then is acknowledgement. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. So now here we come to God, and we're able to come by faith. We approach him through worship. We come through expectation. We come through submission. We come through petition, confession, compassion, dependence, and acknowledgement. Now remember, no person in the Old Testament ever addressed God in prayer and called him my Father. No, but you can search it and look at it all you want to, or you can take my word for it. David says, as a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those that fear him. Psalms 103:13. Isaiah 64:8. Yet, O Lord, you are our father. Now watch, it is a group again. But yet none of them, you'll never find none of them ever calling God my father. So you can imagine when the Lord Jesus begins to pray this way. It is absolutely overwhelming to the apostles because the Lord Jesus refers to Father God, the invisible spirit, as my father no less than 160 times. 160 times he refers to my father. So no wonder they're saying, Lord, teach us how to pray. It's evident we do not know how to pray in this new dispensation. So in calling him father, they was acknowledging that something was about to change. They had not, of course, entered into the new birth relationship, but it was shortly on its way. And they're expressing a relationship with God that has not yet been experienced. Of course, it was in the beginning before Adam fell. So the first words of this prayer were going to invoke God upon the basis of acknowledging what he has done. Now, when you say, my Father or our Father, which art in heaven, or however you approach it, oh my God, my Heavenly Father, I love you, without going into every detail every day that you pray, you are acknowledging, if you are praying the right way, You are acknowledging the cross. You are acknowledging the work of redemption. You are acknowledging sanctification. What's in the contents of those words when you call him your father? You are acknowledging by calling him that of the great process of reconciliation that he has made. No, you don't have to explain it to God through all the types and the shadows. But when you pray in true revelation and you go before the throne of God and God knows you have that revelation, then when you say our Father, it's more than two words put together for you. It is thousands of years of the work of redemption. It is all the types, all the shadows, all the foreshadowing under the law. And when you are saying my Father or Heavenly Father or Precious Father, whatever you say, then whenever you're approaching him, you are acknowledging the work that he has done in your life to make you a son or daughter of God. I remember myself when I first started getting around some of the Oneness Brothers, and I heard them pray. And there was something about it. I knew their doctrine was different than what I believe, being raised a Trinitarian. But I noticed the way that they prayed and the way that they addressed the Heavenly Father. And it was so different than what I had heard all of my life, you know, up to that. I was probably in my 20s maybe whenever I started getting around some of the Oneness Brothers. And I would hear them as they would approach God and they would call him Father or Loving Father or Heavenly Father. And it seemed so different than what I had heard before. So I noticed that, and it seemed that it struck a chord down inside of my soul. Because I didn't know these things then. But since then I've realized that there was a reality from the seed of God in me that was calling for that further identity than just approaching him as, oh God, dear God, mighty God, heavenly God, wonderful God. You understand what I'm saying? That's all well and good, and we know that has its approach because that is part of hallowing his name, because his name is the display of his character. So whenever I begin to hear an identity that seemed to be a more intimate relationship than just, oh God, dear God, I pray God, oh righteous God. But I saw that there was something there, a deeper walk. That was the beginning of God opening up to me the water baptism in the name of the Lord Jesus. It was not just the doctrine for me initially itself, but it was a furtherance of the relationship. Now you may call it strange and weird, but whenever people have a new revelation or a new idea or a newfound something or another, what I always go by, I don't just want to look at the scriptures and the quotes that they've got, but I want to see what that's doing for their life. And if it's making them more like Jesus, if it's making them more like the Word, then I might look at that. If it's making them more hateful, more contrary, more grouchy, you know what? Then I realize, I don't care how many scriptures they've got, they're wrong. No matter how many quotes they got, there's something wrong about what's going on. Anything that doesn't make you more like the Lord Jesus, you better get away from it. Well, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So here we open up. Now Jesus says, after this manner, therefore pray ye our Father which art in heaven. Now notice here, as I said, there are no singular pronouns in this prayer, but they are all plural. Now why would he do this and say this in this way? Why would he not individualize the prayer alone and make it to where it was totally just on the individual? Why say our? If you'll notice again, it is the projection of the Lord Jesus into the move of God, into the mystical body which is fixing to be formed, to remind us daily that we are not alone. And we're not just here. We're not just living on an island by ourselves. But even in our prayers should be for our whole family. It should be. I'm not talking about just your flesh and blood. I'm talking about the family of God. In the family of God, in the move of God, are all different kinds of levels of faith. Everybody that's not in the bride, come on now, don't get quiet. Everybody that's not in the bride is going to be lost. There's going to be a multitude that's going to come up through the tribulation period that'll come out of these churches. Praise the Lord. Oh, yes, they will. They'll come out of her before she goes into him, the devil, and they will be saved and go through the tribulation period as they were identified in the sixth seal, page 575, of being the purged church. But notice this, when we pray, then our prayers are not just me and mine, what I want, do this for me, but watch Jesus as he sets it forth, that in praying, we're not just praying about me and about what I want, but it is also concerning the family of God. Do you understand? You should never pray anything that will work against any other member of the family of God. Oh my. Our Father. So we are part of God's worldwide family. Part of God's worldwide family. Part of God's worldwide family. Part of God. No, the record ain't stuck. I want it to stick in you. We are part and only part. And may I say, a very small part. Now watch this. So as he goes into this, the very first petition. Now there are seven petitions that Jesus sets forth in this model prayer. Now we mentioned the nine aspects of the prayer, but let's look at something now different, a little bit different. These are the seven petitions or the seven requests that we're going to ask whenever we pray. Now he says, after this manner, therefore pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven. Now this is acknowledgement of sonship. Now what's our first petition? Hallowed be thy name. Wait a minute, where's our light bill? Where's my job? The kids have got the cold. Where's... You mean the first thing I'm supposed to do when I pray is hallow the name of God? Actually, for the very first three things are not even about you. They're about God. You get your order where you need it at the end. Because that's where we fit. I know most of us don't like being the end, but you might as well just set that that's where you are. Amen. So hallowed be thy name. That is to be held in reverence, regarded and treated as holy. So the very first petition is for us to go in the presence of God and we ask God to let his name be hallowed or sanctified or set apart. So the top priority of our prayer goes on what? The name or the character of God. You mean, so my praying is not just about me. It's not just, I need this and I need that and I want that and I need that and I want that. You mean the very first thing I'm supposed to even ask for is for him? He don't need anything. Oh, but you see, he does need something. So top priority belongs to the things of God and not us. Lord, teach us how to pray. Now the Greek word translated as hallowed is the word which we said, you can read this with me in our English word, holy. It is translated in other places as saint or sanctified. Usually it refers to setting something apart for God's use. Objects that were used in the temple were holy or sanctified because they were set apart for God's use in temple worship. Christians are called holy for the same reason. So hallowed or set apart or sanctified be thy name. Now God's name actually means himself. Now remember, the rendering of name from the Old Testament brought on over from the Hebrew to the Greek is totally different than what we think about name today. You know, I mean, somebody may look at a cigarette pack and then they stop at Sonic and get some sort of a drink and they cross the name off that cigarette pack with that drink and then they name their child. But some of the names we put on our kids today, it's a shame. I'm talking about message, folks. Come on. People don't even know what the meaning is. They don't know what the name is. They don't try to look up and figure that that's going to bear on that child. But when God has a name identified to him, It is an attribute of his character. Now, most of us have probably got three names. You've got a first name, a middle name, and a last name. Donald Lee Reagan Jr. is mine, whatever yours is. But God has many, many names in the Old Testament. Now, the reason for that is because each name was chosen to reflect a portion of his character. Now, we call him God in general, but God in general does not reflect the fullness of what his character is. So when we say we want to hallow the name of God. Now, to a real believer, well, now it's not just repeating the word, Lord, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? Probably most Christians couldn't even explain it in the first place. They have no idea what it means. They think, well, that means I don't cuss. No, it's 10 million miles away from you don't cuss. It is sanctifying his name, which is his character, and allowing that character to express itself out through you. So Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Shalom, Adonai, Elohim, all the great names of God, hallowed be thy name. Let your name be manifested through my life. It's not just saying, well, holy to the Lord, holy to Elohim, holy to Jehovah Jireh, holy to Jehovah Shalom. But you are setting apart his name and you are giving it a place in your life to live. You're setting it apart. You're sanctifying. Oh, hallelujah. You are allowing God to display the character of his name in your life. My, my. Hallowed be thy name. So the name of God is what? His revealed character. He hallows it when he makes it act out through the holy manifestation. So you, when we allow God to save us, we allow God to be what? Jehovah Savior. When we allow him to be our banner in the time of war, he manifests his name of Jehovah Nissi. We allow him to manifest himself. Jehovah will provide. He allows, he comes and works his work through our hearts as we allow him to the Father, hallow your name. I take this sacred vessel. If you lived in the Old Testament, they'd have took a sacred vessel and they'd sanctified that vessel. You couldn't drink Gatorade out of that vessel. It belonged to God. You couldn't go over and drink water out of that vessel yourself. That belonged to God. When you hallow the name of God, you are giving your temple a place by which the character of God can be set up as the utensils of the temple were. And your house, oh my, is consecrated to the hallowed position of worship. Can you imagine many Christians so-called today that are called Christians and yet cuss? And use God's name in vain. Use all kinds of stuff. You think, Lord, have mercy. And they claim to be Christians. Watch this, verse 10. Thy kingdom come. So now, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. First petition. Second request, thy kingdom come. And the word kingdom here means reign. So this request is that we desire, we wish and hope and pray that your kingdom will come. Don't raise your hands, but how many of you pray, Lord Jesus, come quickly? This is the model of prayer. Or is most of our prayers about me and my kids and my grandkids and my bills and my. Do we pray the kingdom of God will be advanced? Do we pray the kingdom of God will come? Do we pray the last one whose name is on the book of life can receive the Holy Ghost and we can go home? Or do we like living in this hell-filled world? Oh my. Thy kingdom come. Third petition is tied in with this. Thy will be done. Oh my, this is a hard one. So what if God wills to take your wife from you or your husband or a child by sickness or by death? Praise the Lord. Can we accept that as God's will and not get mad? Hallelujah. Thy will be done. Boy, y'all getting quieter and quieter. Now remember, the will of God is that men would obey his law, his word, and be holy and sanctify themselves and set apart into the service of God, which a bride is supposed to be. So the word will here refers to the same word of law of the Old Testament. So it's not so much the Ten Commandments, but it is God's will or God's sovereignty that he desires to project over man's will. So God does not let man just choose his own way. God does not let man choose his own way to heaven, which is the way people are doing today. They've designated their own way. Well, I don't think you have to do this, and I don't think that's necessary, and I don't think that's necessary. So people are choosing their own way, and they're choosing what God would accept and what God won't accept. But the problem is, that's them saying it and not him amening it. And you know, the sad thing about it is, there's going to be many, many, many of those people that are going to be disappointed at the day of judgment. When they stand there and say, Lord, I went to church, I done this, that, and other. He'll look at them and said, I never even knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Is that what the Bible said? So you then, the real believer, is saying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So how is it done in heaven? Now remember, the fallen angels have been fallen and gone and kicked out for many, many years now. But yeah, they have access, of course, an accusation before the throne of God about us. But as far as the existence in heaven, there is no rebellion in heaven. There is nobody there in heaven that's arguing with God. So now watch what we're supposed to pray. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is it in heaven? Everybody in heaven obeys the word. Everybody in heaven acknowledges God's word as the absolute. It's not mama, it's not daddy, it's not grandpa. You realize, friends, people can't truly pray this unless their will has already merged into his will. Now, they might repeat these words, and what they're doing is saying a prayer. They're not praying it. But for people, in order for people to really pray this from the heart, as a solicitation from their heart, let your kingdom come, let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. They cannot honestly say that by revelation until their will has so merged into God's will. And then God hears that petition, and it's the same as if the Lord Jesus was saying. Now, if they're repeating those words, their will might be a million miles from God. Yet they can say those words and sound so beautiful, it don't mean that to God. Goodness. Now watch this in verse 11. Now look at this. The first three petitions, we haven't even mentioned us. Mine, I want, and I need. And I... Now watch verse 11. This is the fourth petition. Give us. Now this is you praying, but you're praying in plural form. Give us this day, our yearly bread. Or Easter bread. That's when some folks will show up here in a few weeks. We'll see folks we ain't seen for a year. So I guess they'll pray this model prayer. They say, our Easter bread. But notice how Jesus words this. First of all, in the plural, give us this day our daily bread. You mean we're supposed to pray this on a daily basis? You mean real deep, consecrated Christians are supposed to pray daily and not weekly or monthly? I mean, I thought the deeper you got in this message, the less you had to pray. That's a lie of the devil. You won't find the Bible nor God's prophet teaching such trash. And I do say trash. That's contrary to the words of our Lord Jesus. Surely he ought to know. Now watch, give us this day. Now this is the fourth petition, but it is the first time that we're now honing in on our particular needs. The Trinity, the first three, went toward him. So give us this day. So the word bread here actually denotes everything necessary to sustain life. So we're not just talking about a slice of bread, but in the word bread, if you notice the bread interchangeably, it can be used for many things. So it's every aspect, whatever you need when you're praying, then Lord, give us this day our daily bread. So you reckon this prayer should be prayed when you're laying down at night, when you go to bed, or maybe first thing in the morning? Reckon you should wait till noon to pray this prayer? Or 3 in the evening to pray this prayer? Or should you start your day this way? Now, it sounds like to me, if you're asking God for the daily provision, you would ask God for the daily provision when the day begins. Now, it's not just so that your belly will be full. It's not just your bread as far as eating, but it's everything you will need for that day. None of us know, friend, absolutely none of us know what tomorrow will hold. But if we begin that day, Lord God, help me. Lord, I don't know what I'm going to need today. Maybe you've got food in your pantry. Maybe you can open the refrigerator door and you've got a tab. But that's not just honing in on your belly. It's everything. How do you know that something terrible is not going to happen to you before the day? How do you know you're not going to get a phone call that's going to change your life? Father, give us our need of strength, our need of courage, our need of whatever it is before us. Give us daily what we need, Lord. Why do I need to go back to daily? That's the way he wanted it to be. Believe it or not, he wanted to hear from you every day. That's just my daddy. Glory to God. Give us this day our daily bread. So this petition implies what? Total dependence on God. How often, Brother Jim? Daily. On a daily basis. Now we know, friends, that is for sure, that there are some days that we need him worse than others, right? But yet, he does not say, well, when you're in the middle of trouble, then pray. But this is something that is supposed to set before us, according to the Lord Jesus himself, that we are to acknowledge our dependence, Lord, whatever I need today. Today, Lord, I may not need but that much strength. But whatever I need, the daily allocation or the daily allotment that I need, give me this day. We should never think, well, you know what, this burden is passing. Boy, I'm doing good now. When do? We become lazy. We become laid back and we don't pray. Why? Man, we're glad that trial is done. But that's not what Jesus said. Where have we developed this at? We've developed it by tradition. This is not the teaching of Scripture, that we're to pray when everything is going hard. We're to pray daily and pray for the daily allocation of grace and mercy and strength and forgiveness that we need. On Monday, you may not need but that much. But on Wednesday, you might need that much. On Thursday, you might need that much. Who knows what tomorrow will hold. Notice this again now, Jesus, in using this, doesn't say my daily bread, but our daily bread. He reaffirms again the principle of the tying together of the whole economy of God. Well, you said, but I've got bread to spare. That's not what Jesus said. What about our brothers in Africa? You are not just to pray for you and your wife. You're not just to pray for this church family. You have a bigger family than this. Now, I know because Brother Terry and some of these other minister brothers have been overseas, maybe it can touch our hearts more. It's been many years since I've been to Africa. But there's hardly a week goes by that I don't think about them. It's been many years since I've been in India. Several years since I've been in China. As far as natural food, most of the people I saw were doing okay. But yet the spiritual food, the sustenance. So maybe me being there and the memories of it touches my heart. And even though many of you have never been and probably will never go, but you have the example of our Lord Jesus. What does it do? This helps drive away selfishness. It helps keep away from us. How? Why? Because we're supposed to pray this daily. God, be mindful of the bride around the world. God, be mindful. I know it was just, oh, my, some of you couldn't do it at all. But I pray for the foolish virgins. Amen. Well, you say, why in the world would you do that? Because they've got to be saved before we can leave out of here. Because whoever's got to be saved has got to be saved before the bride's gone. Because there ain't no blood left on the mercy seat once she's gone. I don't just pray for Happy Valley. I don't just pray for Message, folks. I pray for our. It helps keep selfishness away from Donnie. Praise the Lord. So it's not my daily bread. It's not my needs. It's our. Praise the Lord.
Now watch the fifth petition, the fifth request, the fifth desire. Forgive us our debts. Now remember, the Lord Jesus couldn't say this because he never did anything wrong. Debts means moral obligations unfulfilled. Our shortcomings. Our sins. Wow. You mean, being in the message, I'm supposed to pray this way every day? Actually, you'll be held more accountable than these folks out here that don't know. Oh, yes. God will hold message folks much more accountable than he will the Church of Christ, the Baptist, the Methodist, whatever more. That's right. It's going to be a terrible judgment for us, friends, if we miss it. Because God has sent us men of God. He sent us a prophet. He sent us a message. And if we ride over the top of that and go on, God have mercy on us. I'd rather meet God myself as a Baptist than I would some backslidden message person. Better chances, I'd rather meet him as a drunk. Absolutely. I'd rather meet him as a drunk than I would some of these folks that's been around this message and turned away from it. There'd be a better chance of being saved. Now watch. So the fifth petition is what? Now it's about us. Man, he ain't said nothing about Cadillacs, BMWs, boats. But bread, our needs, our petitions, and then the next thing, I'm going to go to my sins. I told you to you before, but this is some of the first outstanding things to me when I would hear Brother Branham pray when I first came to the message years ago. And it was, he would say, God, forgive our sins. And I think, you're kidding me. He's got sins? Or so I was a dyed-in-the-wool Pentecostal. And if you had sins, you're the devil. So as ignorant I was. You might as well say, amen, you're just as bad as off as I was. But you know what? As I went on, I realized what he was saying was the truth. Right? So here the Lord Jesus tells us now that we are to ask for daily forgiveness, and he likens these sins to debts. But it's a debt that I can't pay. But it's symbolic of a debt. Now watch, this is the way God views it. Now he says, notice this, forgive us our debts. So it's a moral obligation, or the meanings of the words, our shortcomings, our sins. That would be noted with the emphasis that God is asked to forgive us as we forgive others. Now, if the equation of this is true, then God forgives you on the same degree, with the same element of freeness that you forgive others. How forgiven are you in the presence of God? Now, if you forgive others this much, and then you need this much forgiveness from God, you're only getting the same measure that you mete out. I don't believe that. I don't really care. This is what my Lord said. Teach us to pray, Lord. Now watch, friends, argue with each other. This is what Jesus said himself. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Now watch, so as I mete out forgiveness, that same element or measure of forgiveness will be given back to me. This is just one of the many reasons why I hold no grudges. I don't care what people do to me. Absolutely. What they say, what lies they say, what they fabricate, do whatever. I hold no grudges against no one. Brother Donnie, you telling the truth before God tonight. If I'm not telling the truth, God strike me dead on this platform. I hold no grudges against anyone. I hold no hard feelings in my heart against anyone. Why? What if I do wrong and then I go before God and I say, Lord, I need this much forgiveness, and God said, I can't do it. Well, he said, what's the problem, Lord? Well, you still got this against that person and that against that person. And you'll only forgive them so much. That's all you'll let go of it. And every time their name is mentioned, your blood pressure goes up and you feel yourself breaking out in a cold sweat. Why? Because you still got something against them in your heart. So as you forgive, I'll forgive. Give you. You know, it's not just good religion to forgive, it's also more healthy.
I was reading it the other day that doctors have proved scientifically folks who hold grudges have higher blood pressure. They have more strokes. They have greater risk of heart attacks. Your doctors have broken to the very thing that Jesus gave in the gospel. It is more healthy to forgive. It is better for your blood pressure to forgive. My, you talking about it. You can eat all the salmon you want to eat. You can eat it till you're a walking, talking salmon. But until you learn how to forgive, all them omega-3s and all the rest of them things you're taking ain't going to do no good. Until you learn how to forgive from your heart. Now notice, this is the way we're supposed to pray. Father, you forgive me in the same measure that I forgive Brother Jim. You forgive me in the same measure that I forgive Brother Chuck. Now don't raise your hands again, but how many of y'all pray that way? And how many of you think of it in that way? That when a person would trespass against you, and you hold it, and you hold it, it's going to take me some time, it's going to take me... Really? And where did you get that at?
Amen. Come on now.
Can you please stand right now and tell me the scripture that says you're supposed to have so much time to forgive? Please. Anyone? Well, if you can't do it, why do you practice it? You are practicing something that's contrary to the word. How long does it take God to forgive you? Maybe I should sing, Our Father. Come on, children. The model prayer. Oh my, a lot more to it than just reading over it, ain't it? Uh-huh. Yeah. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. So it's used figuratively now. It does not mean literally, but it is a debt. An offense which none but God can forgive, because even though it's a debt, I cannot find the currency to pay for it. This is why I have to ask forgiveness. Don't you understand? You are the only one that can forgive a brother or sister their trespass against you. This is why it's likened to a debt, which you're the only one that can eliminate. If I could eliminate y'all's hard feelings between one another, I'd do it. Because I know the power that lays there. I know the power that lays in forgiveness, and I'd do it over the top of your old hard-headedness. But I can't do it because it's a debt that you hold. When a brother or sister trespasses against you and you've got that I owe you, that debt, I can't forgive it. Even God cannot forgive them over you. You've got to do it yourself. Oh my. So I have nothing to pay these debts. And you have nothing to pay me for the debts that you owe against me or that I owe against you. So the only thing that we can do then is ask for forgiveness of that debt. So my shortcomings, my failures to say the right thing at the right time, my failure to have the right attitude, your failure, what is that? It's a debt. And that debt is owed to who? God. So where can I get the currency to pay him and to remit this from him? I have none. There is no currency currently available. So what do? For my debts, I go to him, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. When I lay down on my bed at night, Lord, I'm sorry if I failed to please you in any way today. Lord, if I fell short somehow, if I said anything wrong, if I thought anything wrong. Lord, Brother Donnie, you mean you pray that way every day of my life? Because the closer I get to that light, the more I realize how much I need forgiveness. The closer I get to that light, the more it shines out my imperfections, Brother Jack. The closer I get to that light, oh my, the more I realize I need his mercy and grace. Now friends, I don't know if you'll accept this or not, but no one can reasonably believe that they are forgiven of their sins
if they cannot forgive others?
Don't you see why this is such a value to God that He would mention this in our model prayer? Why? Because God sees His own image in us when we are forgiving the way He did. Lord God. To ask God for what we refuse to give to men is to insult Him. To ask God what we refuse to give those who are debtors to us is to insult God.
After this manner, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Watch this. Verse 13. Let me say this before we leave this. The possession of God's forgiveness makes us forgiving. Do you understand why many folks cannot forgive? Because in reality, from their soul, they are not loosed. They are not forgiven. That's why they can't forgive. They hold grudges. They bring this up and that up. Why? They are not forgiven themselves. Sixth petition. Lead us not into temptation. Now this seems strange. Why would the Lord Jesus pray that our Father would not lead us into temptation? Now God, according to the book of James, tempts no man. But whenever a man is tempted, he is tempted when he is enticed and drawn away of his own lust, right? So when a man says he is tempted, let him not say, I was tempted of God. But here it seems that the Lord Jesus says something contradictory to what James said. So for you picky ones who are looking for contradictions, and I would also like to point you to this prayer in the book of Luke, and you'll find that Luke eliminates some of these petitions that Matthew doesn't even say. As a matter of fact, Luke doesn't even put them in the same order. So if you want to pick, let's come on down and pick. Scorch, burn, sizzle, fry, grill, deep fry. I'm trying to save you out of hell. Now, lead us not into temptation is praying that we will never have trials. But it's actually keep us from falling. The phrase is used in the sense of permitting. Do not suffer us or permit us to be tempted and yield or turn over to the tempter. Now watch how he connects this. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, which is an expressive word. Break our chains, loose our bands, snatch, pluck us from the evil and its calamitous issue. Oh my. So you mean daily I'm to pray that God will not let me be tempted above what I'm able to bear? I'm to pray daily, God, don't let anything fall before me. Lord, that'll overwhelm me. Again, don't raise your hands, saints. Do you pray this way? We have service 3 times a week. Maybe we should start our prayer meeting 5 nights a week. Till we all learn how to pray. I mean, I ain't been serving the Lord, you know, but most of my life, I sure would like to learn how to pray before I leave this world. Wouldn't you, Brother Jim? I mean, I would. I figure I'd graduate. If I could learn how to pray, I figure I have reached the utopian God. I'm about ready for a change.
Notice this. So God has control. This is what I love about the sovereignty of God. Now, you know that God is not telling us, now pray you won't be tempted. Pray you'll never go through a trial. No, no way. But because His sovereignty reigns supreme over the one who's aggravating us, we can still pray to Him and say, God, please, don't let me be tempted above what I'm able. You know what lays before me. Help me, God, that I'll not be tempted while I be weak. Help me, Lord. You mean every day I can pray this way? I wonder how much easier there'd be things in our life if we would only access this as our rights before the throne of God. Friend, this is part of who you are. This is part of your blessing as children of God, that daily you can say, Lord, don't let me be tempted above what I'm able. God, give me strength to this day to meet the evil of it, Lord. Help me, Lord, that I'll not be overcome by the things of the day. I don't know what the day holds, but you hold it. But as a child of God, I've got a right to pray the sovereign God will not let that evil move over me and weaken me down. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Now watch, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In the original in this place, it is deliver us from the evil, and that is the evil one. Praise be to God. Deliver us from His power, His snares, His arts, His temptations, His lies. You mean I've got a right to pray this every day? I've got a right to pray that God will deliver me? Well then, if I've got a right to pray it and I don't pray it and I get overcome, whose fault is it? God's, right? I blame God, right? I blame God for everything, right? Is that what we do? We blame God? It's our fault. Whew. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Now watch, the end of the petitions. Now the doxology. Oh, I know this scares us to death. Many of you don't know what it means. What are you scared for? The word doxology means an aspiration of praise. That's what doxology means, an aspiration of praise. So in the first three petitions, you've asked for His will, His kingdom. Then you move into your realm and you ask for the things that you need. And then you close your prayer with a doxology. Amen. Listen to this doxology. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. Forever. Amen. Can you imagine a saint of God every time, every day that you pray, whether you're on your knees or walking down wherever more, and you go through these nine aspects of prayer. You go through these petitions and you know, whatever it is that you need. And remember, it don't have to be verbatim for this, but you're approaching God this same way. And you build in yourself this way to pray. And no matter what the urgency is, oh God, I've got to, you say, wait a minute, there's a way to approach Him. There's a way to approach Him. No matter how desperate it is, I'm still going to remember the right approach in the presence of the King. Hallelujah. Now watch. So now we've asked the petitions and we're going to come and close the prayer. Look what a way to close it. For thine is the kingdom, which is reign or dominion. In other words, you've got control over all these things in my life. Thine is the kingdom. How can a child of God pray this way and close with this type of aspiration and get a, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'll make it to 3 or not. It's 2:47. Maybe I'll hold out to 3 o'clock. Maybe if I hold out to 3, I'll make it to 4. I don't know if I'll be able to make it to Saturday or not. Can you imagine a child of God approaching God through prayer like this? They have reached the throne of God. They have stood there. They have forgiven. They have been forgiven. They have worshiped. They have praised. And they're closing out this prayer. And they're acknowledging, for thine is the kingdom. not the devil's, not mine, not the Democrats, not the Republicans, not America, not Russia. Thine is the kingdom. You're in control of my life. You're in control of this universe. You're in control of your church. You're in control of the rapture. You're in control of the resurrection. It's not me in control. It is you in control. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Oh my. You've got control over these things. And you can order them so if the tempter comes against me, you can order him, get out of my way. Thine is the kingdom. And the power. Now watch this. You have just petitioned for things. For him first. And then for you. And now you're acknowledging. You have got the power to bring to pass what I've prayed. I've prayed that the rapture would come. And it's on its way. I prayed for the resurrection and it's going to happen. I prayed for that last seed. It might be a black sheep over in Africa somewhere. I prayed for your will. I prayed for my brothers. I prayed for my sisters. And you've got the power to answer my prayer. Children, what kind of Christians would we be if we close our prayer with aspiration like this? You're the one that owns the kingdom. You're the one that's got the universe. And you've got the power to bring it to pass. I guarantee you, this is the kind of Christian that Satan trembles when he prays. By power, it is the word in the Greek that is energy. The energy by which the kingdom is governed and maintained. You know, the United States in several different eras in my lifetime has had several energy crises. But you know what? God ain't never had one. God ain't got no energy crisis going on. It's right now Laodicea. My goodness, we're paying more for gas than you'd never convinced me. Years ago, we'd be paying $3.39 or whatever it is now for gas. I'd have laughed at you. Oh, my. And yet the United States is the biggest supplier of energy in the world. I don't know if you knew that or not. And we're making more by fracking and all the world this is going on. And yet we're paying more and more and more. And yet they say, oh, my, we may run out. We may run out. Well, let me tell you tonight, this Holy Ghost power will never run out. If it goes on for 500 more years or 1,000 more years, there'll be Holy Ghost preachers standing behind the pulpit preaching the word. God will still be healing the sick. God will still be filling with the Holy Ghost, because God ain't never had a power surge. God ain't never had something to go down. He ain't in no energy crisis tonight. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Thine is the kingdom and the power. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. So it ain't about me. It ain't about you. It ain't about this church. It ain't about Brother Branham. It ain't about Paul. It's about him. Thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I'll tell you one thing. I about had myself a spell when I found this forever. It means to the forevers. It never ends. Well expressed by our common translation, even in our ancient use of the word, taking in the whole duration of time, the second ever. The second ever, the whole of eternity, may thy name have the glory both in this world and that which is to come. And then Jesus uses this great big powerful word. Amen. I wonder if you've ever looked at that word. This word in Hebrew signifies faithful or true. Some suppose this word is formed from the initial letters of Adonai, Melech, Niton. Look at this. Adonai, A, Melech, M-E, Niton, N, Amen. No wonder he said in the book of Revelation, he was the Amen. Adonai, Melech, Nikon. Look what it means. Oh, glory. My Lord, the faithful King. My Lord, the faithful King. When a real child of God says, Amen, Adonai, Melech, Nikon. My Lord, the faithful King. It's not just saying a four-letter word. Amen, 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 amen. But when you really say it, hallelujah, thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Adonai, Melech, Nikon. Hallelujah. He is the Amen. Then it's not you, amen, in the word. It's him in you. Look at this and we'll close. The word itself implies a confident resting of the soul in God. With the fullest assurance that all these petitions shall be fulfilled to everyone who prays according to the directions given before by our blessed Lord. It means verily, certainly, so be it. Let's stand. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Our Father, which art in heaven. Oh, children, if you was praying right before tonight, God bless your hearts. But if you wasn't, this ought to make every one of us want to go back. Now I realize I've unloaded a lot on you tonight. But if you need to go back and listen to this 37 times till you get the first verse, and 38 for the second, and 39... If I was you, I'd listen to it till I got it. I don't know what you think about the Word of God. I don't know what you think about anointed men of God standing in the pulpit. But to me, it's important what God's got to say. This is not sent because God couldn't have given me something else to say. This was sent to you, saints of God. This was sent to us to make us better people. To make us better warriors. Many of you want to be prayer warriors. What do you think a prayer warrior is? Somebody that screams loud and hollers and somebody that prays a long time? How would each of you define a prayer warrior? To me, it's a warrior that knows how to fight in prayer. Not by the length of how much they pray. Well, I pray 17 hours a day. I pray. That don't mean they're a prayer warrior. They could spend all kinds of hours. I knew people back in Pentecost that would go for prayer meetings and be there for 5 and 6 hours at a time. And I'm talking about doing it 3 or 4 nights a week. I don't mean there's prayer warriors. That just means they spend a lot of time there saying words over and over again. Do you understand? Each of you can be a real prayer warrior if you'll take this model from a godly man. Jesus Christ, the godly man. Let's bow our heads. Oh, my Father, what can we say? But thank you, thank you, thank you. Lord, I've prayed wrong so many times. I've put me first and my great emergencies and my great things I was going through. Forgive me, Lord. Forgive us. Lord Jesus, may you teach us. Help us, Lord. Dear God, I pray that these words will not fall to the ground, but may they fall in fertile hearts, that each of us can really consider how we pray. And if need be, listen to what we say when we pray. And begin to discipline ourselves, not so much in the form of a ritual or to repeat your words. That's not what you wanted, but you gave us a model, an example of which we could follow. That we would have faith and worship. We would start with adoration. We would begin to pray for your will to be done and your name to be hallowed and worshipped. For your purpose to be achieved and fulfilled. It's amazing to me, Lord, that you knew your purpose would be fulfilled.
but somehow you wanted us to pray about it. It shows us that even predestination and sovereignty doesn't override somehow intimate conversation with you about that sovereignty. You knew your will would be done in the earth. You knew it would evidently be accomplished. But you wanted us to pray that it would somehow. Help us, Lord. We love you, Lord Jesus. May these words go deep into all of our hearts. Heavenly Father, we thank you for truth. And we know the truth will make us free. We worship you. We adore you. We bless your holy name. Adonai Melech Nitnan. Amen. Amen. So be it, Lord. May your will be done. May the last soul be reached. May the gospel be spread to the darkest places of the earth. May we be ready for a rapture. May the resurrection morning soon dawn, Lord. Grant it, O God. May we be ready, Lord Jesus. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. Let's just worship him now just a little before we go. I know you kids have got school and all that. I always try to be mindful of that on Wednesday night, but I don't want that to hinder us either. Do we want his kingdom to go to for the forevers? Yes. Yes, we do. To the eternity. To the last space of the forever, which is no end. And thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory. If you notice in this prayer, Jesus never even acknowledges the devil. As far as how great he is, how powerful he is. He says, keep us from the evil one. So he calls us by his character of what he is. He's evil. He don't say he's omnipotent, all-knowing, that he's omnipresent, all that sort of thing. Going to huff and puff and blow your house down. No. Jesus just acknowledges him as the evil one. You acknowledge him as that and go on. But the kingdom is his, not his. And the power is his, not his. And the glory is his, not his. Forever. Forever. And the saints said,
amen.
Amen. Well, hey, I think we've got to sing it. Our Father which art in heaven. You don't mind, do you, if we sing it together? Praise God. Hopefully we can sing it with a little bit more understanding than the last time we sang it.
Amen.
Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Yes, Lord. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as, yes, Lord, forgive our debts. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine
kingdom and the power and the glory forever. I gotta say it again. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, praise the Lord. Oh, happy day. Praise the Lord Jesus. Let's sing a little now before we go. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day.
My sins away. Oh, happy day. He taught me how to watch and pray. Oh, happy day. My sins away. Oh, happy day.
Hallelujah.
He taught me how,
how to watch
and watch and pray. Oh, happy day. And live rejoice.
Yes, Lord.
Sin and happy with Jesus. Oh, every day.
Thank you, Jesus.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, what a happy day.
Oh, happy day.
Oh, Jesus was.
When Jesus was.
I said my Jesus was. Sales are changed.
You know, the truth of it is, some songs are just written to where they ain't no good place to stop. And that's one of them. Kind of makes me wonder if the Lord don't inspire them that way, because they'll be continued. Oh, happy day. See you this weekend. Oh, what a happy day.